privilege to fellowship around the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into the word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear. There is no confusion in any heart. Rather, we enjoy the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for we know it's done, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. All right, so you can take your seat. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Okay. God wants the world. Part 3. Right? Amen. Okay. Let's backtrack a bit. We've been looking at the subject of missions and evangelism from God's word, right? And, you know, in this particular teaching, we took a quite an interesting route, wouldn't you think? Don't you think so? You know, we took quite an interesting route, because I told you at the first part of this teaching that I wanted to teach evangelism from the Old Testament. Amen. Right? Do you remember that? Do you remember that? Yes. You know, I said I wanted to teach evangelism from the Old Testament. Because you see, how many of you have ever seen anyone do that? Amen. Have you seen that before? Most times when people teach on evangelism and missions, they have what we call evangelism passages. Amen. Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 21, then Acts 1. Amen. Those are what people call evangelistic passages. Okay, so any teaching on evangelism must always then okay, for some as well, they add 2 Corinthians 5. Okay, so every teaching on evangelism must always come from this text, you know. But then it now seems like, what about the Old Testament? What does the Old Testament have to say concerning missions and evangelism? And we said that the Old Testament in its message is consistent with the new. Amen. You know, God didn't say something new in the New Testament. Amen? Do you hear what I just said? God didn't say something new in the New Testament. What God said in the New Testament is what He has always been saying through His prophets, even in the Hebrew Scriptures, Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. So God's message did not change. Are you here? God's message did not change. So if in the New Testament God is concerned about evangelism, that means He has always been. Right? Because God does not change. His plans, His purposes, and His counsel do not change. Amen? And so we look through the Old Testament. Remember that? The first part of this teaching. Do you see you can actually teach missions from the Old Testament? Do you see that now? Okay? We saw that in the first part of this teaching. Please, if you were not here, please get that teaching, okay? Because this will build on that. Amen. So, the second part of the teaching focused on the concept of race, racism, right? Skin color from God's word. You know, what does God's word have to say concerning the different varieties that we find in man, right? And then we saw in the second part of this teaching how we had different diversities, right? Within humanity. And we saw that that has always been God's plan, right? God made the earth with diversity and varieties. And we said that was done for the sake of men. Do you remember all of that? Okay, in the first part of this teaching. And then we also said that God then picked Israel. Okay, now we said there's just one human race. Then within that human race, there are different clans, right? Tribes, nations, peoples, right? Okay, but one human race. So God now picked Israel. In Genesis chapter 12, actually Abram, then Abram's family, the Jews or Israel, to now be the means by which His message and His glory would fill all of the earth. Hallelujah. Okay, so the Jews were picked, and we said that how are the Jews God's special people? God was not being racist. Do you remember all of that? When God picked the Jews, God was not being racist. Okay, God did not pick the Jews above the nations. Rather, God picked the Jews for the sake of the nations. You remember all of this? Okay, the Jews will now be God's special people within a context. What context? Evangelism. Do you get it? So God picked that particular people to be the means by which the other nations of the world will come to know him. So Israel, like we used to say, is God's goodness parade, right? To the nations, to draw their attention back to him. But God never intended that Israel would now exclude the nations. You know, that is ironical, don't you think so? You are chosen for the nations, then you now exclude the nations. Don't you think that's an irony? Right? Israel is chosen for the nations, then Israel now excluded the same nations that she was chosen for. And that's why we said that racism and ethnocentrism hinders evangelism, right? When we begin to see ourselves as better than any other person or any other people group, you know, we won't want to minister to them. And then how will the message of God spread? So racism actually is the plan of the devil. You know, we said all of this, right? Okay, is the plan of the devil to hinder the knowledge of God from filling all of the earth. Hallelujah. So until we come to the point whereby we begin to see all men as valuable, and we begin to honor all men irrespective of their skin color, their ethnic groups, and so on and so forth, we will never carry out that plan of evangelism, you know, as well as their social status. Okay, we will never be able to carry out that plan of evangelism as much as God would have us do. Hallelujah. So we said that Israel allowed racism to stop and hinder that God-given mandate, okay, that was given to her. Alright? So Israel as a nation has failed. Are you here? Israel as a nation has failed in that task. So now, is God helpless? Amen. You know, God chose the Jews to carry his message to all of the earth. But now the Jews are failed, right? But is God helpless? God says, oh no, oh no, oh Lord, what will I do? No, right? So what we'll do in this particular teaching is to find out how God, irrespective of the Jews, carried out his promise to Abraham. Are you here? Genesis 12:1-3. That promise that through him all the families of the earth will be blessed, right? Okay. This particular teaching will find out how exactly God, irrespective of the Jews, okay, carried out his plan and his intent. So this particular teaching is going to focus on our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Are you here? It's going to focus on our Lord Jesus Christ. How the plan and purposes of God are now brought to completion and fruition in him. Hallelujah. Okay, so again, I began to look for what would be my opening text. Amen. Because I don't want to use New Testament text. Amen. I just want us to see that, okay, even the Old Testament, right, can provide answers as touching evangelism, right? So I was actually initially I was tempted to use Matthew 28, amen, for this particular teaching, but I said no, amen. So I'm not going to use Matthew 28. It's going to be a New Testament text, okay? But we'll take some study in the Old Testament as well, all right? Then we'll build up into the New Testament, and then we'll focus majorly in this part of this teaching on the four Gospels. Okay, the missionary work of Jesus in the four Gospels. That is what this part of this teaching will be focused on. So are we ready for that? Okay, so turn your Bibles quickly to Luke chapter 4. Hallelujah. That will be our opening text. Luke 4:16-22. Hallelujah. Luke 4:16-22. Okay, now let's read. So he there is our Lord Jesus, right? You know, is capitalized, and most times when the translators capitalize pronouns is in reference to deity. Okay, so here our Lord Jesus Christ, right? So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, okay, and stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now pay close attention to this. Verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Underline that. Upon me. because he has anointed me, underline that, anointed me, okay, to preach, hallelujah, the gospel, underline that, preach the gospel to the poor, okay. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, hallelujah, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim, hallelujah, the acceptable year of the Lord. Do you see that? Then he closed the book and gave it to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, hallelujah, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Do you see that? Is fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? Do you see that? So we see our Lord Jesus Christ come on the scene and he boldly declares. Now he quotes from Isaiah 61, 1 to 2. Please turn there. Isaiah 61, 1 to 2. And then he comes on the scene, right? At the start of his ministry, and he boldly quotes or declares Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 61 verse 1 to 2. Now turn there. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. Okay? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Hallelujah. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Do you see that? Now, interestingly, Isaiah 61 originally referred to the Jews. Are you here? Isaiah 61, 1 to 2 originally referred to the Jews or the people of Israel. Now, remember we saw in the second part of this teaching what we call the suffering servant passages, right? Do you remember that? Thank you very much. Isaiah 42, 253. So, Isaiah 61 is a continuation. Do you see that now? Of the suffering servant passages. And remember we said that those passages speak of Israel as God's ideal servant, right? That would carry out God's plan on the earth. Are you here? The suffering servant passages speak of Israel as that ideal servant of God that will suffer in carrying out God's plan and intent on the earth, which is what? To fill all of the earth with his knowledge. So Israel is the me, okay, anointed in Isaiah 61, 1 to 2 to preach. Are you following this? Okay, Israel is God's chosen servant on the earth. Look at Isaiah 41, verse 8. Isaiah 41 verse 8. Hallelujah. But you Israel are my servants. Do you see that? Jacob whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham my father, or pardon me my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its father's regions and said to you, you are my servant. Do you see that? I have chosen you and have not cast you away. So Israel is that servant of Yahweh. Do you get it? That was supposed to carry out Yahweh's plan on the earth. Now that word servant, okay, used here, translates the Hebrew word Ebed. Ebed. E-B-E-D. Remember, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek. Okay? Ebed. Now that word means a slave. A slave. One whom is used to accomplish a plan or a task. Okay? One who is used to accomplish a plan or a task. And interestingly again, you see that God uses the singular masculine pronouns when referring to this servant. You see, he says servant, and then he says you. Do you see that? So he groups all of Israel as a singular entity. Okay? He's talking to Israel like he's talking to a singular male servant. Do you see that so far? So Israel is the one to bring good news. Okay? Look at Isaiah 40 verse 9. Isaiah 40 verse 9. It says, O Zion, you who bring what? Good tidings. Do you see that? So that was supposed to be the role or the duty of Israel. It says, get up into the mountain, O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings. You see that again? It says, lift up your voice with strength. Underline that. Lift up your voice. Okay? Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Hallelujah. Okay? Do you see that? So, this task, okay, given to Israel to proclaim glad tidings all around the world, now continues in the suffering servant passages. Okay? Now, actually, there are four major, okay, suffering servant passages. You know, we've said they are from Isaiah 42, right? 253. But actually, there are four major suffering servant passages. Okay? And in all of these passages, God keeps talking to Israel in the masculine pronoun. Okay? God keeps talking to Israel in the masculine pronoun. Now, how many of you in your Bible reading, you've seen where God will speak to the children of Israel and God will call Israel he? How many of you have seen that before? He's talking to a nation and he's saying he. Right? Now, why is that so? Is he referring to one person or a people? Or people, right? Because Israel, okay, the word Israel or the name Israel, remember, that was the name of their ancestor, Jacob. Remember, his name was later changed to Israel. So that word is a masculine term in the Hebrew. Do you get it? So when God speaks to Israel, he will talk to Israel like, I group all of you as a man. Are you following this? Are you following this? Okay, I group all of you as a man. So he will refer to Israel as he. Because that word Israel actually is a masculine terminology. Is a masculine name. So now let's look at how this is used in the suffering servant passages. Look at Isaiah 42 verse 1. Okay? Isaiah 42 verse 1. It says, behold, my servant, that is Ebed Yahweh. Right? The suffering servant of Yahweh, right? Whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. Do you see him? You see that? Underline him. Okay? I've put my spirit upon him. It says, he, underline that. You see the masculine pronoun being used. Now, he here is supposed to be Israel. Do you see that noun? So he's calling Israel he, him. Are you following this so far? Okay, it says, he, verse 2, will not cry out nor raise his voice. Please underline all the masculine pronouns as we go, okay? He, his, he, is, okay? Now, nor his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Okay, 3 says, a bruised head he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. It says, he will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. Okay, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. He, him, and his hair refers to Israel. Are you following this? God is speaking to Israel, not Jesus. Amen. I know some people come here and they say he there is supposed to be Jesus. No, he's referring to one Israel in the masculine pronoun. Are you following this so far? You see the same thing in the next suffering servant passage. Look at Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, reading from verse 1. It says, listen, O coastlands, to me. Now, me here is Israel, okay? And take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me, that is Israel, okay? From the womb, from the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name and has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me, okay? And has made me a polished shaft. In his quiver, he has hidden me. Verse 3 says, and he has said to me, you are my servant, what? Oh, Israel, do you see that? So me is who? Israel. Do you see that? Not Jesus. Are you here so far? Okay? He said, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord and my work with my God. And now the Lord says, who formed me? Who is that? Huh? Israel, thank you. From the womb to be his servant. Okay? Ebed Yahweh. To bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Verse 6 says, indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. Now look at this. It says, I will also give one, you, with you, Israel, okay, thank you very much, as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. You see that? So Israel is chosen to make Yahweh known to both Jews and Gentiles. Okay? God chooses Israel to make him known to both Jews and Gentiles. Look at verse 7 of the same chapter. It says, thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, the Holy One, to him. Now, do you see that? That's Israel. Whom man despises. Now, that will be the suffering servant, right? Remember, he will suffer in carrying out God's plan. Remember, that is Israel. So you see, now men despise him. Him will be who? Israel. Okay? To him whom the nations are born, to the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you. You see that again? Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I've heard you, and in the day of salvation I've helped you. Now, you is Israel. Okay? I will preserve you, Israel, and give you as a covenant to the people to restore the earth and cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, go forth, to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. Okay? So, Yahweh bestows upon Israel that noble task of restoring the earth. Do you see that now? Of setting the prisoners or the captives free. So Israel was to be God's suffering servant in the earth. Okay? Ebed Yahweh. Suffering in order to bring men back to him. Do you see that now? Okay? Suffering in order to bring men back to him. Now look at the third suffering servant passage. The third major suffering servant passage. Look at Isaiah 50 verse 4. Isaiah 50 verse 4. It says, the Lord God has given me. Okay? Me there is Israel. Okay, not Jesus, the tongue of the learned, that I, Israel, should know how to speak, okay, a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning, he awakens my hair to hair as the learned. The Lord God has opened my hair, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me. Remember, Israel was supposed to what? Suffer. Right? In the process of carrying out God's task, God's will, God's counsel on the earth. Okay? And my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. You know, some people call me and say, this is Jesus. Because Jesus was beaten, his cheeks was, the beards were plucked out of his cheeks. Calm down first. Okay? Calm down first. This is Israel. Okay? Okay? The suffering servant. I did not hide my face. That's Israel's face, right? Okay, from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. So, God's Israel will now suffer in order to bring men back to him. Do you see that? They will be beaten, okay, struck, spat upon. Okay, this is what this is saying. Now look at verse 10. It says, who among you fears the Lord, who obeys the voice of his servant? That will be Israel, okay? Who walks in darkness and has no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Okay? So Israel is to be that servant of Yahweh on the earth. You see that now? Now, lastly, in the suffering servant passages is Isaiah 52 verse 1 to Isaiah 53 verse 12. Now, Isaiah 52 and 53 are together. Okay? They should never, remember I told you that. They should not have been chapterized. Remember I told you that chapters in the Bible was not done by God. The translators did that. Okay? And Bible scholars have jointly agreed that Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53 are supposed to be read together. Okay? They flow together. Isaiah 53 flows from Isaiah 52. Okay? So in your mind, when reading those two chapters, remove the chapters. Okay? Read them together. Or read them into one another. Are you here? Are you here? Okay, now let's begin from Isaiah 52 verse 1. Okay, Isaiah 52 verse 1. It says, awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Do you see that? So who is he referring to? Israel, right? Zion, thank you. It says, put on your beautiful garment, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Now, in this context, to take you captive. Okay? This speaks of captivity. Do you get that? Okay? It says, shake yourself from the dust, arise, sit down, O Jerusalem, loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Do you see that now? So in context, this speaks of captivity, okay? Okay? Referring to Israel. Now look at 3. For thus says the Lord, you have sold yourselves for nothing, and shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord, my people, that will be Israel, right? Went down at first into Egypt to dwell there, then the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Is that the suffering servant? You see that? Referring to what? Israel. Okay, thank you. Verse 5. Now therefore, what have I here, says the Lord, that my people are taken away for nothing? Those who rule over them make them will. Okay, so they are suffering, says the Lord, and my name is blasphemed continually every day. You know, at this point, Israel was in bondage. So this is what all this is referring to, okay? The kings who held Israel in bondage now held, persecuted them, okay? Or made them suffer. But look at verse 6. It says, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. Now look at verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are what? The feet of him. Him who? Israel. Okay, who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. You see that? Do you see that? So this makes it clear that Israel was to be Yahweh's evangelist. You see that now? Okay, to proclaim salvation. Now look at verse 8. Your watchmen shall lift up their voices. Is that proclaiming? Is that preaching? Okay, with their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. Look at verse 9. Break forth into joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people, he has redeemed Jerusalem. 10 says, the Lord has made bare his only arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. This was supposed to happen through Israel. And look at verse 11. Depart, depart. Go out from here. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Be clean. You who bear the vessels of the Lord, for you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the Lord of Israel will be your rear guard. Verse 13 says, behold what? My servant who? Israel shall deal prudently. He, Israel, shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Okay, remember they were in captivity, right? Now it says they will be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished as you. Now you here is in the masculine pronoun in the Hebrew. So it's still referring to the suffering servant Israel. Okay, as many as were astonished at you, so his, okay, that is still Israel, okay, visage was mad more than any man. This is not Jesus. Are you here? Okay, so it can be read this way. Just as many were astonished as you, that is Israel, this will continue in that his, okay, Israel's visage was mad more than any man. And his, that is Israel's form more than the sons of men. And look at verse 15. So shall he, Israel, okay, sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. And for what had not been told them, they shall see. And what they had not heard, they shall consider. Now, should you read Isaiah 53? Huh? Should you read Isaiah 53 as a different chapter or continuing? Okay, thank you. Now, verse 1. Who has believed our report? Now, who is our? Israel. Do you see that? Okay, remember Isaiah 52 verse 7. Israel is supposed to be that evangelist. Now, pay close attention here, because remember, this text is always used for Jesus. Okay, so I want you to do something now for me. I want you to remove that bias. Do you understand that? I remember when I was studying this, I said, ha! You know, when something has been too much in your head, okay, you know, when you are reading it with that lens, it can color what you're reading. So I deliberately said, Jesus, I'm sorry, but let me read this in context. That's actually what I said. I said, let me read this in context, okay, I'm sorry. All the is you find in Isaiah 53 is not Jesus originally. Amen. It is Israel. Are you seeing this now? Huh? Are you seeing this now? Let's read this. See two. For he, is that Israel? Okay. Shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He, Israel, has no form or comeliness when we see him. Remember the suffering servant, right? Okay, there is no beauty that we should desire him, Israel. He, Israel, is despised and rejected by men. Amen. Okay, the suffering servant, right? Right? Ebed Yahweh. Okay, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Man there is Israel, not Jesus. Are you here? Okay, thank you. And we, that is the nations, hid, as it were, our faces from Israel. Can we say that? Okay, let me keep using Israel so that it makes sense to you. Israel was despised, and we did not despise, and we did not esteem Israel. Now, surely Israel has borne our griefs. And there was silence in the congregation. Remove that lens. What did I say to you? Remove that lens. Surely Israel has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, out there will be the nations that Israel was sent to. Okay? Yet, we esteemed Israel stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But Israel was wounded for our transgressions. Amen. Israel was bruised for our iniquities. Say, where am I? What kind of a church is this? The chastisement of our, that is the nations, peace was upon Israel. And by Israel's stripes we are healed. Amen. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon Israel the iniquity of us all. So, Israel will now take responsibility for the nations. That's what this is saying. Do you see this? Do you see this? Now look at verse 7. Israel was oppressed and he was afflicted. Remember the suffering servant. Yet Israel opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent. So he, that is Israel, opened not his mouth. Israel was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare Israel's generation? And Israel was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he, that is Israel, right, was stricken, and they made Israel's grave with the wicked, and with the rich at Israel's deaths. Because he, Israel, had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in Israel's mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Israel. He had put Israel to grief. When you make Israel's soul an offering for sin, do you see that? Israel shall see his seed, it shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in Israel's hand. Okay? Israel shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. And his knowledge, or by his knowledge, my righteous servant Israel shall justify many, for Israel shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him, Israel, a portion with the great, and he, Israel, shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he, Israel, poured out his soul unto death, and he, Israel, was numbered with the transgressors, and he, Israel, bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgression. Okay? Every masculine pronoun in the suffering servant passages refer to Israel. Amen. God raised Israel to bear the sins of the nations. Now, what does that mean? That is to save them from their sins. Now, how would this happen? By knowledge. Remember, Isaiah 53 verse 11. Do you see that now? By knowledge, Israel would justify the nations. Do you see this? So, Israel was to provide the knowledge that would justify the nations. Israel is that suffering servant. Now, how would they provide that knowledge? By their preaching. Are you here so far? Israel is that chosen elect servant of God. Look at Jeremiah 46 verse 27. Jeremiah 46 verse 27. Please turn your Bible there. Jeremiah 46 27. As we begin to close gradually now, kind of. Jeremiah 46 27. But do not fear, O my servant. You see that? Jacob. And do not be dismayed, O Jerusalem, or O Israel. For behold, I will save you from afar, and your offspring from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return, have rest, and be at ease. No one shall make him, do you see that again, the masculine pronoun, afraid. So Israel's mission is to the nations. So let me reiterate Isaiah 42, 49, 50, 52, and 53 were originally to Israel, not Jesus. So when you find Israel obeying God, Israel will be doing all that the suffering servant passages say. Do you get it? So how do we know that Israel is obeying God? Everything the suffering servant passages say, we will see them doing it, right? Right? When Israel is not doing all those, what those passages say, are they in disobedience? Yes. So the suffering servant passages speak of Israel in his ideal state. That is very important. Okay, in his ideal state. Now, that doesn't mean that Israel carried out that task. Remember, that was God's responsibility to Israel, right? Now, that doesn't mean Israel carried out that task. But if Israel will be in his ideal state, Israel will carry out that task. Can I see your hand if you get that? Thank you very much. So, the suffering servant passages will be Israel in the state that God wants, the ideal state. Remember, God chose Israel with the specific mandate to reconcile men to him. Remember that, right? Look at Exodus 19 verse 5. Hallelujah. Exodus 19 verse 5. It says, now therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me. Remember, I've explained this, right? Segolau, to me above all people. You understand what this means? For the purpose of salvation or evangelism. For all the earth is mine, and it shall be to me a kingdom of priests. Do you see that? And a holy nation. Priests reconcile sinful men back to God. Are you here? So Israel was supposed to be the kingdom of priests. When Israel is in his ideal state, Israel will be priests. Do you get what I just said? When Israel is obeying God, Israel will be carrying out this priesthood. Are you following this? Okay. And a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So when Israel is obeying God, we will now find all of these happening. Now, it is now from this that Isaiah 61 flows. Now, turn back there. Isaiah 61 verse 1. Hallelujah. Turn back there. I'll wait for you. Okay. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. So, me will now be who? Israel, right? Okay? Because the Lord has anointed Israel. Okay? To preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me, that is Israel, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. So Israel is that anointed one sent to preach. Okay? So, why then does our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 4, 18 to 19, then quote this text for himself? Are we thinking together? Remember, this text originally will be for who? Israel. Then our Lord Jesus Christ comes on the scene, Luke 4, and then he quotes this text for himself. Now, why? We'll find out. But before that, observe that Israel's election was because of Abraham. Remember that? Israel's election was because of Abraham. Abraham, the friend of God. So God said, Abraham, my friend, I will use your family to bless all the nations of the world, right? So that election, that choosing, was because of God's relationship with their ancestor, Abraham. You see that Isaiah 41 says this. Please turn your Bible there. Isaiah 51 verse 8 to 9. He says, but you, Israel, are my servant, Eber Yahweh, right? Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. Do you see that? So they are chosen because of Abraham. Do you see that now? You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its father's region and said to you, you are my servant, I have chosen you and I have not cast you, okay, away. So if God chose Israel because of Abraham, then we will need to go back to Abraham to understand this mission. Remember, Israel's mission, Israel's responsibility is because of what God said to their ancestor Abraham, right? So to understand why this is so, we will need to go back to Abraham. So we ask the question, what did God promise Abraham? Amen. What did God promise Abraham? Now look at Genesis 12 verse 1. Hallelujah. Are you here so far? Genesis 12 verse 1. Now the Lord has said to Abraham, now his name was later changed to Abraham, right? Okay, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, underline that, bless you, and make your name great. And you shall bless. Remember that, right? Okay, you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth. Okay, Kol Mishpachot Ha'Adama shall be blessed. Now look at verse 5, verse 2 again. Okay, verse 2. Now you observe that verse 2 speaks of a blessing, then a responsibility. Do you see that? A blessing, then a responsibility. First, God says to Abraham, I will bless you. Is that the blessing? Okay. Then he says, you shall be a blessing. Or in the Hebrew, no, we said that phrase is a command, right? Or an imperative. You can say, bless. Do you see that? So, I will bless you, then you bless. Do you get it? So, remember, God's intent is to bless all the families of the earth through Abraham. So, we see a blessing, and with that blessing now comes what? A responsibility, a task, a mandate. Okay? So, Abraham and his family are blessed, then they are blessed also to bless others. Do you get it? So, we can say a chain reaction of blessing. Hallelujah. Okay, you are blessed to bless others. That is Abraham and his family. And remember, Abraham was blessed with what? The gift of righteousness, right? By faith. Because Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So the blessing of Abraham that would now spread to all the nations is not money. Okay, it's not good houses. What? What is it? Righteousness by faith. Okay, now how this would happen, how that God will bless the nations of the earth through Abraham and his family, becomes clear over time. You know, that promise, God kept elaborating on that promise. We can say that. Do you see that? You know, God said to Abraham, through you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. But then in speaking to Abraham's descendants, he now elaborates on how that would happen. Now look at how God says it to Abraham's son, Isaac. Look at Genesis 26 verse 4. Genesis 26 verse 4. It says, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed, okay, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Underline that. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. What is he doing here? He's reiterating Genesis 12, 1, 2, 3. Do you see that? He's elaborating on his promise. Okay, so you see that the blessing would come through Abraham's descendants. Can we say that? Abraham's family or Abraham's seed. You see that the same thing is mentioned or discussed to Jacob. Now, Jacob is the grandson of Abraham. Look at Genesis 32 verse 12. Genesis 32 verse 12. It says, for you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. So it keeps making mention of descendants. You see that? So there will now be a multitude of people. The family of Abraham will now be a multitude of people. So God's promise will be fulfilled in Abraham's descendants, okay, in his family. And you observe, it says that that family would fill the earth, right? There will be a multitude. Now why? For the purpose of filling the earth with the knowledge of God. Can we say evangelism? Yes. And then you see that this truth is partially fulfilled in the people of Israel. Okay? This truth, or we can say this promise, is partially fulfilled in the people of Israel. Look at Exodus 1 verse 7. Exodus 1 verse 7. It says, but the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly. Underline that. Increased abundantly. Is this what God promised? A multitude, right? Okay. Multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty. Underline that. Multiplied and exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them. Hallelujah. Just like God said. You see the same thing mentioned by King Solomon in 1 Kings 3 verse 8. 1 Kings 3 verse 8. Are you there? Okay. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen. Who will be that? Israel. A great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Now, these numerous people now had one goal. Okay. To bless all the families of the earth. Okay, which we have seen to be evangelism. Remember, get the first part of this teaching for that, okay? So, Israel was raised for the sake of the nations. Okay? Israel was raised for the sake of the nations. Look at Isaiah 42 verse 1. Isaiah 42 verse 1. Again. It says, behold, my servant, now that's Israel, whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. That is Israel, right? He, Israel, will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. You see that? So Israel was chosen for the sake of the Gentile nations. Right? To fill those nations with the knowledge of Yahweh. Look at 2. He, or Israel, will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Now, this will be Israel in its ideal state. Do you get it now? It doesn't mean that Israel did all of this. Come on. Come on. When Israel is in its ideal state, in the state that God wants, this is what Israel will do. Can I see your hand if you get that? Thank you very much. A bruised reed, it will not break, and smoking flax, it will not quench. It will bring forth justice for truth. It will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands, that is nations are far off, right? Nations are far off, shall wait for his law. So, Isaiah 49 verse 6 calls Israel a light to the Gentiles. Look at that. A light to the Gentiles. Isaiah 49 verse 6. It says, indeed, he, that is God, says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you, that is Israel, as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. So, God's plan for Israel is clear. Okay? To make him known in all of the earth. Now, did Israel do this? You know, we spend the whole of the first part of this teaching explaining that Israel failed in that task, right? Woefully. So Israel, as a nation, failed in a God-given task. Now remember, in the first part of this teaching, I told you that when God picks a man and the man fails, what does God now do? Does he give up? He finds another one, right? Okay, so because Abraham's family has failed, what does God now do? He now begins to look for another man. Okay? Another man. Remember the promises in the suffering servant passages. All of them refer toward Israel. Right? In its ideal state. But because Israel has failed, God now begins to look for another man. Right? To give those same mandates or tasks or responsibilities to. Okay? Because the promise of God to bless all the nations of the world was still unfulfilled because of Israel's unbelief. You see that? Okay. Then we now find in the New Testament, hallelujah, the fulfillment of that responsibility, of that promise. You find out that the first sentence in the New Testament refers to God's promise to Abraham. the very first sentence in the New Testament refers to God's promise to Abraham. Now turn to Matthew 1:1. Now we are in where people like, right? The New Testament. These are where some people like say, ah, thank you, Pastor. We're finally here. Amen. Now look at Matthew 1:1. It says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the what? Son of David, the son of Abraham. Hallelujah. You see, the very first utterance in the New Testament speaks of what? That same promise. So again, God picks another man to fill, or to fulfill rather, his ancient promise that he made to his friend Abraham. So you see that Matthew is quite intelligent. Matthew's gospel traces the genealogy of Jesus to Abraham. Are you seeing this now? To show that the gospel of Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. So can we say Matthew is teaching salvation through genealogy? Yes! Hallelujah! So what is Matthew saying? Remember I told you that Matthew's gospel is a Jewish gospel, right? To convince the Jews that Jesus Christ is that promised Messiah, right? So he's telling the Jews, hey, Jesus is the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant, of the Abrahamic promise. You see that Luke also says something similar. Look at Luke 1:45. As we begin to close gradually now, Luke 1:45. Hallelujah. Are you learning so far? Okay, thank you very much. Luke 1:45. It says, blessed is she, and that is Mary, the mother of Jesus, okay? Who believed, for there will be what? A fulfillment, underline that. A fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now look at 46. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, what? My Savior, hallelujah. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant, for behold, henceforth all the generations will call me blessed. Are we calling her blessed today? Yes, right? Okay. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, has scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. He has put down the mighty from their thrones, and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant, what? Israel. Now pay close attention to this. In remembrance, underline that, remembrance of his mercy, verse 55, as he spoke to what? Our fathers, to Abraham and his seed forever. Do you see that? So the birth of Jesus, now remember, all everything going on here is the birth of Jesus, right? The incarnation. So the birth of Jesus is understood to be God's fulfillment of all that he said to Abraham. Do you see that? So Mary is speaking by the Spirit of God here. She is speaking inspiredly. When Jesus Christ comes on the scene, he is coming as a fulfillment of Genesis 12:1-3. Hallelujah. Are you seeing this? You see a similar utterance made by Zacharias in verses 67-75 of the same chapter. Okay, verses 67-75 of the same chapter. Now let's read. It says, now his father, now that is John the Baptizer, okay? You know, his father is Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Do you see that? So those utterances will come by the Spirit of God, right? Okay, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has what? Visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. That horn is Jesus. Do you see that? Okay, as he spoke by the mouth of what? His holy prophets. Can we say in the scriptures? Okay, who had been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy. Done what? Promise to our fathers. Can we say Abraham, Isaac, Jacob? Okay, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. See that now? To grant us that we being delivered from the hands of our enemies. You see that? Is that Genesis 3:15? Huh? I will bruise the head of the serpent. Yes! Hallelujah! My servant without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Verse 76 says, and you child, now that's John, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord Jesus Okay, that's Jesus, right? To prepare his way. So he's the forerunner, the one who goes ahead to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high. Now that's Jesus. Okay, has visited us to give light, hallelujah, to those who sit in darkness. Can we say the unsaved? Okay, and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So Jesus is now called the day spring. The day spring is the daybreak. That's what that means in the Greek. The daybreak. Or you can say the first dawn of light in darkness. You know, when morning, you know, that first light you see, that is the daybreak, okay? Or the day spring from on high, who has visited man. Okay, so he has come to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. Now, is this what Israel was supposed to do? Yes. Isaiah 46, 49 verse 6, right? I'll raise you to be what? Light to the Gentiles. Do you see? So, that task that Israel fails to accomplish, Jesus Christ now comes as its fulfillment. Hallelujah. Are you seeing this now? Are you seeing this now? So, here, we now find a new Israel. Are you seeing this now? We now find a new Israel, or a better Israel. Can we say that? Or the true Israel. Do you get it now? So, Jesus is now the true Israel. We can say the real Israel, or the fulfilled Israel. Do you get it? That's what true means. So, it is clear that Jesus will now be all that God wanted Israel to be. Are you seeing this now? Is the true Israel. And that is why Jesus had to come as a Jew. Remember, God made that promise that it was through the family of Abraham, right? That it will bless the world. So you know what God now does? God now becomes a man and becomes a part of the family of Abraham. Hallelujah. To fulfill his own plan. Hallelujah. Do you see this? So Jesus is the son of Abraham. You know, that is just so beautiful. God becomes the son of his friend. Do you see this? Amen. It now comes to fulfill all that Israel was supposed to do. So now, have we seen the new Israel? Have we seen the better Israel? Can we say the true Israel? The fulfilled Israel? Can we say Israel in its ideal state? Okay? That would be Jesus, right? Now, all the promises, all the scriptures in the Old Testament that refer to Israel are now automatically transferred to him. Do you get it now? Do you get it now? Okay, including the suffering servant passages. Hallelujah. Isaiah 42 to 53. Okay, because Israel failed to carry out those tasks, Jesus now comes to fulfill where Israel failed. Hallelujah. Okay, so Isaiah 42 to 53, as well as Isaiah 61, are therefore messianic. Hallelujah. Okay, now, is it true that God spoke to Israel in those texts? Yes. However, knowing that Israel would fail, God actually was speaking to the Christ. Do you see that now? Do you see that now? So when Jesus Christ comes on the scene, Luke 4, now turn your Bible there, Luke 4, 18, and then he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Is he right? Huh? Is he right? Is he the true Israel? Hallelujah. Do you see that now? Okay? Because he has anointed me. Is that Jesus now? Yes. Okay. To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. To what? Proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So what is he saying? He's saying, hey guys, the true Israel is here. Hallelujah. Do you see that now? Okay. The one who fulfills God's missionary work on the earth. So, he now personalizes the promises made to Israel to himself. Is he right to do that? Does Jesus have the right to use the prophecies? You know, the Jews will say that. The prophecies given to the Jews on himself. Is he right? Yes! Hallelujah! Okay? Because he now comes as the true Israel. The fulfilled Israel, who now is Israel in his ideal state. Remember I told you that when Israel is seen obeying God, the suffering servant passages, she will do. Right? The true Israel now comes on the scene to obey God. Hallelujah. Okay? And that's why he now says in verse 21 of the same chapter, Luke 4, that today this scripture is what?
Fulfilled, hallelujah!
In your hearing, do you get it now? Because everything Israel was supposed to be, it now becomes. Do you see that? So, Jesus now takes on Israel's role. Remember, Israel was that servant of Yahweh, right? Abed Yahweh in the Old Testament. Jesus is now what? The suffering servant in the New Testament. Is he right? Yes! Hallelujah! And that is why you see that everything that applied to Israel in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, is now applied to Jesus, and rightly so. For example, you see that Israel in the Old Testament was called the Son of God. But now in the New Testament, Jesus is now called the Son of God. Look at Matthew 2 as we begin to close. Hallelujah! 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 Matthew 2:14. Oh, glory. Matthew 2:14. When he arose, now that's Joseph, okay? The earthly father of Jesus. Matthew 2:14. He took the young child. And we see, child is capitalized. Do you see that? You know why this is so? I explained that to you, okay? And his mother by night and departed for Egypt. Remember, the child's life was in danger, okay? And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord. Now pay very close attention to this, okay? I beg of you, through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called what? My son. Now Matthew here is quoting Hosea 11 verse 1. Now turn there. Hosea 11 verse 1. Hallelujah. Now look at it. Hosea 11 verse 1. When Israel was a child, do you see that? I loved who? Him. And out of Egypt I called what? My son. So who is the son originally in Hosea 11:1? Israel. Do you see that? The text is referring to Israel. But what does Matthew do in the New Testament? Matthew now applies this text to Jesus. Jesus is now the Son of God, the true Israel. Come on. Do you see that now? The true Israel. So all the Old Testament passages that spoke to Israel are now fulfilled in him. Hallelujah. You see that now? Look at Matthew 8:16, and you see that Matthew did that a lot. Okay? Matthew did that a lot. You see that in the book of Matthew, he kept using the phrase that it may be fulfilled. Because he's showing that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. Okay? The Old Testament prophecies concerning Israel. Now look at Matthew 8:16. It says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick. Now look at 17. That it might be fulfilled. Do you see that? Okay. Which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, what? He himself, hallelujah, took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now it's quoting a suffering servant passage. Remember, right? Isaiah 63 verse 4. Remember, this originally was supposed to be Israel. But now what does he do? He applies it to Jesus. So Matthew is pointing their attention to the fact that Jesus is the fulfillment. Jesus is now Abed Yahweh, the one who suffers to draw men to God. Hallelujah. Which was what Israel was supposed to be. Look at Acts 3:13. Acts 3:13. Please turn your Bible there. I'll wait for you. Acts 3:13. Hallelujah. It says, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, okay, the God of our fathers, glorified what? Is servant Jesus. You see that? The Abed, right, of the Old Testament is now Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Do you see that? So Jesus is now Yahweh's servant. Now you see that in Acts 8, Philip the evangelist ministers to an Ethiopian eunuch. Now we are told about that eunuch that he was reading from the book of Isaiah, right? Now look at it. Acts 8:30. Okay? Acts 8:30. It says, so Philip ran to him, that's the Ethiopian eunuch, okay, and heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah. Now pay close attention here, and said, do you understand what you're reading? Right? I think KJV says, understand is that word I readest. Amen. I don't know why someone in the 21st century still uses KJV. Okay? And he said, how can I, unless someone guides me, okay? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Now remember, Philip is a Christian, right? Okay. The place in the scripture which he read was, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Now this is Isaiah 53, right? a suffering servant passage, referring originally to Israel. And as a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he opened, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation, okay? For his life is taken from the earth. Do you see that? Now, he's reading Isaiah 53, 7 to 8. Isaiah 53, 7 to 8. Now, look at 34. Then he says, so the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some another man? Do you see that? Do you see that? Do you see that? Then Philip opened what? His mouth, and beginning at that scripture, Isaiah 53, preached what? Jesus to him. Do you see that? Now, did Philip have the right to do that? Yes! Why? Remember, that text was originally for Israel, right? But now Philip now applies it to Jesus. Why? Because God transferred that rule of Israel to his Christ. Hallelujah. Okay, remember, Israel in Exodus 19 verse 6 was supposed to be what? A kingdom of priests, right? And I told you that that word priest, Kohen, in the Hebrew, K-O-H-E-N, is a word that is used for someone who draws sinful men back to God, right? So Israel was supposed to have that task, to draw sinful men back to God. But because Israel failed in that task, Jesus in the New Testament now becomes our priest and our mediator. Are you seeing this now? Look at 1 Timothy 2 verse 3. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 2 verse 3. It says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men, hallelujah, to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For what? There is one God and what? One mediator. Do you see that? Remember, the word mediator refers to what? The priest in the Old Testament. One that draws sinful men back to God. That was supposed to be Israel. Now Israel has failed. Now there is now what? One, hallelujah, mediator between God and men. Who? The man Christ Jesus. No longer Israel. Do you see that now? Can we say the task has changed? Can we say the task has changed? Can we say the responsibility has been transferred? Yes. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time? Hallelujah. You see the same thing, Hebrews 2:17. Hebrews 2:17. Hallelujah. 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 Hebrews 2:17. It says, therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and what? Faithful high priest. Jesus Christ is now the Kohen. Do you get it? He's now the Old Testament priest, the one that was supposed to draw men back to God. It says, in things pertaining to God, to make what? Propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered. Is that the suffering servant? Do you see that now? You see that now? Isaiah 42:53, right? Being tempted, is able to aid those, hallelujah, who are tempted. So Jesus now becomes a mediator and a priest, which Israel as a nation was supposed to be. Exodus 19 verse 6. Jesus is that ideal servant of Yahweh. Okay? The true Israel who carries out the blessings, right? As well as the responsibility of Abraham's family. So, when Jesus Christ comes on the scene, and then we see Jesus now go about preaching in Judea and Galilee, he is simply carrying out his responsibility as God's Israel on the earth. Do you see that now? He is fulfilling Isaiah 52 verse 7. Now turn your Bible there as we close. Isaiah 52 verse 7, which says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of who? Him. Now him there will now be Jesus. Do you get it now? Do you get it now? The responsibility has been transferred. Hallelujah. Okay? The feet of him. So his feet are those beautiful feet. Hallelujah. Filling all of Judea and Galilee with the message of Yahweh. Hallelujah. Okay? Who brings good news? Who proclaims peace? Who brings glad tidings of good things? Is this Jesus? Yes. Who proclaims salvation? Who says to Zion, your God reigns? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay? So everything that applied to Israel in the Old Testament, okay, now applies to Christ. Okay? Now applies to Christ. So we'll see Jesus Christ is right. Okay? He's right. In Luke 4:18-20, to quote those texts for himself and say, today, these scriptures are fulfilled in your day, right? Right? Were they actually fulfilled? Yes. Hallelujah. Did you learn? Okay, so we'll continue from here in the second service. Lift your hands and give God praise. Thank him.